Okay, then time for more pre-season feelings ahead of the 2012 Formula One World Championship. And I'm delighted to say that joining me on this occasion is a man of many roles. He's a former F1 driver, the owner now of a Honda dealership, the 1992 World Sports Car Champion, and of course, since last year, president of the British Racing Drivers Club. Derek Warwick, thanks very much for your time. How is life then as president of the BRDC?
You know, I thought it'd be something that I would never want to do. It took me a little while before I finally made the decision to take the post after a little bit of pressure from the board. And now I've taken it and I've been in the role now 6 months or so. Love it. I feel very confident about myself. I'm not trying to be Damon Hill or Sir Jackie Stewart. I'm trying to be Derek Warwick. And the shoes do fit. And I'm sure there are certain things that I'm weaker than past presidents, but I believe there's also a few things that I'm stronger. So, I'm happy with what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. So, I'm a very proud man because I think to be president of the British Racing Drivers Club is a pretty big thing, and I feel very comfortable in doing it.
It's great, and still plenty to come from Silverstone as well, of course. What can we perhaps look forward to this year in terms of new developments coming from there?
Well, there's not much I can tell you, I'm afraid, okay, because of confidentiality agreements.
Sure.
But, we have a third party, and we're negotiating, and we hope to bring news when it's done. But as you can imagine, it's a big... It's a big, complex deal, exciting times ahead, I think.
Okay, great stuff. Well, I'll crack on, Derek. 2012, Formula One. It's going to be a great season by the looks of things. All the ingredients certainly there. Six world champions on the grid. We've got Kimi Räikkönen coming back. He's one of them, of course. So many other things as well to look forward to. How much are you looking forward to this?
You know, I'm still a massive anorak when it comes to Formula One. I'm riveted to every race. I do two or three races a year now as an FIA driver steward. Mm. I've got closer to the action than I've been for quite a while because you feel quite distant when you fall out as a driver. Yeah. But I have to say, I thought last year was fantastic. I thought DRS worked really well. I'm really anti-KERS, but I think KERS also worked well. I think the racing was close, even though we had a runaway winner. Mm. It wasn't actually like that, like it is on paper. On paper, you know, you just, when you look back in history, it will show 2011, there's a runaway winner with Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had to work for it. I think he was magnificent all year. I thought the racing was great. I thought Jensen had a great year. A controversy with Massa and Lewis, and which made front page and back page. Great for Formula One, and great for supporters, I think.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And as far as this year is concerned,
yeah,
I agree with you. I think this year we are more excited about the prospects than we have been for a long time.
Yeah, and I was going to say, though, like, as you say, it wasn't like 2002 or 2004 where we had a runaway leader and the racing wasn't that fantastic in comparison with last year to watch. We did have some great action going on, didn't we?
Well, I think, you know, if you take Sebastian out of the Red Bull party, you have to question whether or not they'd have been world champion this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and unfortunately, you know, Mark didn't have the best years of his career. I'm sure he'll put that behind him and it'll be better next year. But I think, I think it showed to us all what a supreme talent Sebastian is. And along with that goes also a great guy, a normal guy, somebody that's still having fun. And let's hope that doesn't get spoiled.
It's interesting, Derek, because I spoke to Mario Andretti yesterday and he said he was quite enjoying KERS, but not so much in favour of DRS. It sounds like you're the other way around. So why is that?
Because I thought that that KERS would just forcify overtaking, as will KERS, of course. But, you know, I just think that, you know, with KERS, you've both got KERS at the same time, whereas with DRS, it favours the car behind. And I kind of thought at the start of the season I was very anti-DRS. But when I see it working at places like Abu Dhabi, where 2010 it was probably the most boring race of the year, and 2011 we had overtaking. And then some of my fellow supporters reminded me that, you know, in the turbo days we had overboost, which is not too dissimilar from KERS or DRS. And I just think it worked, you know, and I just think that, you know, if a what is the point of watching a motor race where the car behind that's 2 seconds quicker can't overtake? Well, you know, I mean, okay, the purists will say, well, you know, he's got to be the Lewis Hamilton that takes a chance and tries to overtake. But the reality is, brakes have improved, tyres have improved, weight balance or weight transfer has improved. So therefore, these cars are, even the ones that are slow, are far more equal and almost impossible to overtake, even on circuits that are compatible to overtaking. Now, you add KERS and DRS to that, and I believe that the FIA will adjust DRS zones for 2012. They made a few mistakes in 2011. So I just think that, you know, it's going the right way. I think it's good to see cars overtake. It's what I want to see. It's what spectators want to see. I don't think it falsifies the results, because that car that's been overtaken has got the same opportunity the lap afterwards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a fan. No, I think it worked.
Yeah, I think it did, didn't it? On the whole, we had some good action that we probably wouldn't have had without them. Let's move on to the TV deal then. We've got BBC and Sky in the equation now. Spoke to Mark Blundell last year, and he said it would be a crying shame if we had a pay-per-view situation. Well, we have, to an extent. Only 10 races now live on the BBC. So how's the public going to take to this, Derek, and what's this going to do for the sport in our country?
When it was first announced, because I didn't understand it, I was outraged. Mm. I thought it was wrong that the money grabbers of Formula One had taken it away from terrestrial TV. It should have been, if anything, subsidised so that the BBC or ITV could have afforded it. But with hindsight again, and having calmed down after the Christmas period, I have to say that I think we're better off. I think what's going to happen here is the people that can't afford Sky, which I think when you come to true sportsmen in the UK, I suspect that most of them have got Sky of one sort or another. Mm. So the people that will be outdone, if you like, because they're only going to get 10 live races, are probably the people that don't watch it. So therefore, does it matter? Whereas, you know, they're still going to get those people that might watch the occasional race. You know, we'll still have 10 live and 10 recorded, so they can still see every race if they want to. I know recording's not the same, but I think the true people that watch sport, whether it be football, golf, American football, rugby, whatever, have got some kind of Sky package. And they're the guys that are going to be that are going to have Formula One races on the Sky channel free of charge, because it's going to be a part of the sports package. And I think that Sky will take the coverage, the explanation, the analysis and everything to a much higher level than what the BBC did. And I'm not undermining what the BBC did, but I just think Sky will do a better job. And I think now we've got the best of both worlds. And those that are Ireland Formula One fans that have not got Sky, you know, there's a cheap package, I believe, for about £20 a month. Mm-hmm. I know it's not ideal, but as a true sports fan that watches everything from Tiddlywinks to NASCAR to whatever, you know, I think I'm going to be better off.
Well, I suppose some people spend more money over the course of a year on cigarettes and tobacco, don't they, if you look at it that way?
I know people that smoke, you know, 20, 40 cigarettes a day. Yeah. Well, that's you know, that's their problem, you know, and I just think, I hope they're not the people that are arguing against Sky going on pay-per-view. Yeah. I know it's people will say it's the thin end of a wedge, but let's wait and see. I think I'm excited by going under Sky.
Okay, great. Well, let's move on to Lewis Hamilton. Obviously, as we all know, he had a bit of a difficult year, to say the least, last year, for one reason or another. Is he then now capable, Derek, of getting back to his old self?
I think that you are talking about, and I have to choose my words very carefully here.
Sure.
I think you're talking about arguably the fastest driver in Formula One. I think you're talking about a driver who got very confused last year with his management system, with his girlfriend situation, his father, and the negative press that are always around. You know, those guys have given him a hard time, correctly so, because I think some of his races have been massively disappointing last year. Monaco being the highlight of his career for me, was the worst weekend ever for him, all because he had had a problem in qualifying. I can't remember what his problem was now. I think red flag or something. Oh, I know what it was. It was Kobayashi. No, was it Perez crashed coming out of the tunnel?
That's right.
And when he was on his quick run. But anyway, and that sort of started the rot, really, because up until then he was, you know, he was there or thereabouts. But do I think he will come back in 2012? Absolutely. Do I think he'll be stronger again than he's been before 2011 and 2011? Absolutely. I think he is the most newsworthy, exciting, quickest, challenging driver out there. He will go for the gaps that we all love to see, that everybody else are too frightened to do. And I think that if McLaren gives them the right car, watch out for Lewis Hamilton this year.
Yeah, it's going to be great, isn't it? It was a shame because
I think he's the best driver out there, in the right mind. He's challenging, he's quick, he's aggressive. People will argue sometimes over-aggressive. I hope he's learned from the worst Formula One season he's ever had.
Yeah, it was a shame in some ways, wasn't it, last year, in the way he was sort of attacked by the media. But as a racer, Derek, he's like Nigel Mansell, isn't he, Lewis? I know some people don't like the way he is off the track, perhaps, and that's their own decision. But as a pure racer, it's fantastic stuff to watch.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes most... You know, if you ask Bernie Ecclestone, who is the most important driver in Formula One, I think he'd have to say Lewis Hamilton, because he promotes Formula One, whether it be good or bad news.
Yeah, he's almost the Ayrton Senna of the day, isn't he, in that respect?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yeah. Michael Schumacher then, Derek. Bad start with Mercedes, really, to put it mildly. He hasn't had a podium finish across 2010 or 2011. What should he be expecting to achieve then, realistically, provided that car is up to scratch this year?
You know, when I heard he was coming back to Formula One, I really thought he could win, because I thought he picked the right time to come back to Mercedes stroke Braun. But, of course, they haven't built the car they thought they were going to. They trimmed the team down from the Honda days. And I think, you know, talking or listening to what Ross says sometimes, they built that team back up. Their best chance is going to be this year. That's why it's so exciting. Can he win? Well, I have to say, Nico has proved that maybe he's not the Schumacher we remember. I want to argue that fact. I want to say that I think that Michael is still one of the greatest drivers ever, and that even at 43 years of age, he can still win Grand Prix. And he may well do so, but Nico Rosberg is arguably, again, one of the most underrated drivers in Formula One. What he has done with Michael in the other car, people just don't understand, because having Michael Schumacher as your dominant teammate in the other car and to come out 75% of the time on top is just remarkable. So getting back to Michael, can he win in 2012? Yes, if the car's quick enough, I'm sure he can grab the odd win, but I do think that he will still be predominantly behind his teammate.
Now, behind Mercedes, or at least we expect them to be behind Mercedes, there's a fantastic battle raging in the midfield, and it's going to be very close indeed by the looks of things. Whatever happens, though, there's going to be a number of very talented drivers left on the sidelines, unfortunately. with that in mind, who do you reckon is most deserving now of that second Williams seat alongside Pastor Maldonado?
Suttle. Yeah, really? Undoubtedly. I mean, in an ideal situation, it would be Suttle and Barrichello. Mm. But it's not going to be that. It's going to Maldonado's brought $30 million or whatever he's brought. Mm. So apparently, I believe that he is signed.
Yeah.
So it's going to be between Suttle and Barrichello. You know, bless Barrichello. He's been a great stalwart of Formula One, and I wish him all the best. But I'm not sure that the future would be someone younger like Suttle, who now has a point to prove because he's been dropped from what is at the moment a better team.
And of course, in this amazing mix, we've got Kimi Räikkönen back after 2 years away. So can he still cut it, do you think?
I didn't think I'd ever say I'm excited by the fact that Kimi Räikkönen's back in Formula One, because when he left, I thought, the bloody good riddance to you. You give nothing to Formula One. You don't care about anything or anybody except Kimi Räikkönen. You had a very lucky world championship, which he did. Mm. When he was quick, he was stunning. He lost direction, lost heart, whatever you want to call it. And I think he's been a year in the wilderness, and I just think he might come back the Kimi of old. And if he comes back the Kimi of old, I mean, he's going to be bloody quick. Now, whether or not Renault can give him a quick car, Renault won't give him a quick enough car to challenge the top three, and the top three are always going to be Ferrari, Red Bull and McLaren. Mm. So excited by him coming back. Is he going to be quick? Yes. Is he going to be quicker than Grosjean? By a quarter way through the season, I think he'd be quicker than Grosjean, yeah.
So, Derek Warwick, I know we haven't even got to pre-season testing yet, but if you had to put your finger on two names, one for the drivers and one for the Constructors' World Crowns, at this very moment, who are you going for?
Well, you know, I mean, to be honest, the way that Vettel is driving and the fact that they've still got Adrian Newey there heading up that team, you'd be a fool not to say it's going to be a repeat of 2011. But in my heart, I've got McLaren all the way through. And I think that if McLaren build the car I think they're going to, then I think Lewis and Jensen is going to be really, really tough to beat. And of course, you know, never, never, never underestimate Ferrari and Alonso, because although I don't like him as a man, I respect him as a race driver. Mm. And they are by far the top four Grand Prix drivers at the moment. But on top of all that, if you're asking me to put my house on a driver, I'd have to put it on Sebastian Vettel. But my heart would put it on Lewis Hamilton.
And so from that, I guess, team, you're saying Red Bull at the moment then?
Yeah, team's a Red Bull, yeah.